Welcome to worship, and if you're with us online, welcome. We invite you to just get up off your couch if you're at home watching this and sing with us, and praise the Lord. If there's children in here, I don't see any, but if there are, we have Children's Church now is whole service, so they have already started down in the Family Ministry Center if you need to take a child there. And there are sermon notes available on the tables right inside the doors if you need that for during the message. Ask a person about love, and you'll get a reaction. You'll get some good reactions, but you'll also get some pain and negative reactions as well. I'm old enough that I remember songs that were written with titles like Love Hurts. There's one, the actual title is Love Stinks. And here's what I like. Worship focuses us on God and can reset our thinking. So when we come into the house of God and we hear that God is love and we talk about love and loving others, sometimes that can bring back some of those pains, and we don't want to go there. 1 John 4:16, the Apostle John wrote, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. And to see how big of a statement that three-word sentence is, love never fails, he says, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Love remains forever because God is love. And we want to celebrate that this morning and focus on our God. So would you stand with us? We're going to lift up praise today. We're missing Lance on guitar. He was late last night with his wife at the walk-in clinic. She's got some pain, and we're going to be praying for them. But we want to invite you to sing along with us.
By the power of your great love.
Be seated.
Good morning, everyone. That was a little weak, but okay. My name is Sean Yarnell, and I am your Nazarene Missions International President, and we are going to start the morning off with the one offering. So in this offering, we ask that everybody who is willing to give a dollar to missions that help our church out locally and around the world. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for that offering. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for the joy that you bring into our lives. Thank you for your presence here. I pray that you would bless this offering, that it would be used to glorify your name, to bring others to you, to take care of people, Lord. And I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to show a quick video here.
3, 2, 1.
When that shoebox is open, they're overjoyed.
You can see them shouting, jumping.
Oh, look at how much they are excited. This is the first time those children are receiving their shoeboxes. They are so happy.
Every box is important because every box is an opportunity to tell a child about God's love, about his son, Jesus Christ.
If you get the heart of the child, you will reach the heart of the parents, you will reach the heart of the family, and then you will touch the community. That gift box is the beginning into their hearts.
Isn't it incredible how these gifts touch the lives of these children? Every year we see tens of thousands of children discipled, and we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for packing the boxes. Thank you for praying for these children around the world. God bless you, and keep packing those boxes.
So I would imagine that most of you all have at least heard about Samaritan's Purse and heard of Operation Christmas Child. And every year we take part in that. And so I know my family, we buy a box of items for each of our kids, and we have fun going and shopping around and doing that. These boxes, I take them to First Baptist, and they distribute them to around the world. So and you can track your box. So if you go out here, you've probably saw the boxes. You can grab one or as many as you want, and there are instructions. There's little brochures with instructions of what can and cannot be given. We like to put toys, toiletry items, school supplies, things like that in there. There are a few regulations with that, so just read that carefully, and you'll want to make sure to either donate $10 online for each box that you fill, or submit a check, just put it in your box, and that way that covers the shipping cost for them. If you could not seal your boxes, we always like to just, they need to be easy to get through, for they always go through them before they send them off. So just don't seal your boxes. You can write a letter. There's a QR code where you can actually track where your box ends up, and that's fun to do as well. And so if you have any questions about that, let me know. They are due November 12th. We have a lot going on right now, service-wise, and we have some great opportunities. We are helping get the word out for the food drive for our local food pantry. We've done this the last several years. It is the food pantry's largest intake of food, because we distribute bags throughout all the neighborhoods. Those bags can be filled up with goods, and we pick those up and take them to the food pantry, so it's very helpful for them. And so this Wednesday, we're going to be putting the flyers on the paper bags here in Wednesday night service. So if you're coming, If you think to bring a stapler, bring a stapler. We always have lots of stapling going on. And then also this coming Saturday, we are going to meet at the church at 9 o'clock for those who can. And ideally, I would get 15 groups of people, of two or three people. You don't have to be family. You can be family. And if we get 15 groups of people, it will probably take us no more than a couple hours to get this done. If you can't meet Saturday, it's flexible. So anytime between Wednesday and Sunday, you can do it. And so just let me know if you're interested. There's a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk there. I like to know who I have so I can assign you different maps of the neighborhoods. If you are unable to walk very much and you want to be a driver, we would appreciate drivers as well, and we can get you connected with people who can help out with that. So just let me know about that. Our turkey giveaway is coming up November 19th. That is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. More information will be given on that, but we got new church shirts with our new name that you can order. If you're thinking about helping with the turkey giveaway, we try to encourage you to get a shirt so that people who are attending, we're all matching, and they know who to ask questions to. But the t-shirts are due this Wednesday, the orders for that, and that's up front as well. And then also, if you're thinking about donating money for the turkey giveaway, in the past, we've given anywhere from probably 120 to 150 turkeys on average, and we also give meal kits to them. We estimated, Cindy and I kind of estimated, maybe roughly $25 per family that it cost to give away these turkeys. So over the next few weeks, we'll be taking up our one offerings for the turkey giveaway. If you're somebody who wants to provide meals for several families, that's just something to keep in mind, about $25 per family. And you can start also bringing food items. There's food lists, I believe, in your on the tables over here that you can pick up to know what we're collecting. And you can just collect them and bring them to the foyer here. If you are shopping, maybe each week when you do your grocery shopping, grab a few extra cans of vegetables or just look at that list and see what we need. So that's all I have for now. So Andy's going to come up next and talk about a class.
Not at all.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Andy Yarnell. We are starting a new ministry to outreach some of the homeless and addiction troubled folks in the community. In response to that, we are supplying Narcan here at the church that we're going to distribute through the community. I'm going to be teaching a class on when to use Narcan, how to use Narcan. It's pretty simple. It won't take too long. I'm going to teach it next Sunday after our baptism services in the Family Ministry Center next door. So if anybody's interested in knowing more about addiction, knowing more about overdoses, knowing more about Narcan, anything like that, I'll be talking about that next Sunday after service.
And you guys just thought I wasn't going to be up here today. Surprise! Sorry. Yeah, I have a smile on my face. That's a joke. Okay. So we're going to finish up with some announcements, and then we're going to get into meet and greet and praise and worship. So on top of the shirts for the turkey giveaway and just for the all-church shirt, Rob is also still has the vertical youth shirts, the sign-up sheets out on the table. If your child wants a child, if your youth wants one of those, be sure and fill a form out. Get Rob the money or whoever, or if you have questions, just ask Rob or Kelly. We are also looking for adults, teens, that would be willing to sing, play an instrument on the praise and worship team. So we're going to be taking auditions right now. So if you okay. That's what I thought. If you're interested, please see Miss Cheryl. She will talk to you about it and get you all fixed up. We would love to have some new blood up here. You know what? Praise and worship isn't about us. It's all about the good Lord. And so we would invite you to just pray about that. If he's laid it on your heart, talk to Cheryl. In the back of your seat is a Connect card. This Connect card is for anyone new in our church that we would like to get to know you. If you would like to get to know us, you might not want us to get to know you too good, but that's okay. fill this out, put it in the offering plate when they come by after a while, and on the back of the card is prayer requests. And I tell you what, if you don't think you've got something to pray about, just ask the pastor. You can ask me. You can ask, you know, anybody in the church. You can just walk up to somebody and say, hey, is there something that we need to pray? And I'm sure they're going to say, yep. If you turn your TV on, there's a lot to pray about. If you turn to your neighbor right here in the congregation, they may not be telling you, but there's something to pray about. So if you want that prayer request known, please fill that out. Put it in the offering plate also. We'll get that to the pastor. We can get it to the whole church on the overscreen so they can pray with you on that. But we all need prayer. If you say you don't need prayer, then I'd like to talk to you. Next Sunday is Celebration Sunday with a baptism, so be sure to come and join with that. And I've heard something about cupcakes. When Pastor Fred's involved, they're sweets. I have figured that out. So that is next Sunday. We would love to have you come and join us with that. Home groups are tonight. If you would like to be a part of a home group and you don't know who's involved, keep your bulletin because it has phone numbers and it has names. You can get connected that direction. So right now, I'm going to ask you to get ready to stand up to meet and greet your neighbor. But I'm also going to ask you, before you stand up, or while we're all getting ready up here to sing, I'd like for you to just take a few minutes between meet and greet and praise and worship to just say, Lord, take everything out of me. It's all about you for the next 30, 45 minutes, whatever the preacher has for us, so that we can open our hearts and our minds and we can get connected with the good Lord because he's sitting there waiting on us this morning. Stand up and meet your neighbor and greet him.
We invite you to find your places, and we're going to sing together again. Let's turn our hearts to praising the Lord for who he is and what he's done.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I ought. this song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else been for a king.
Sovereign God is on his throne, and he decides. We have no control over it, what life includes, what we never experience, what we will experience. And when Job went through his trials and realized he had no control over that, but to cry out to God, he said that he would bless the name of the Lord. no matter what his circumstances. And that's the cry of our hearts today. I will bless his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Over the struggles of life, we know where we need to turn, and worship helps us focus that direction. So whatever your week has encompassed, I know you may have come in distracted, you may have come in discouraged, but worship helps us look up. Amen. Where does my help come from? The psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So Jesus walked this earth, and we know what he can do because we have the gospel story, and we want to turn to him. As we prepare our hearts for prayer, we invite you to sing this song of testimony and faith.
Stop.
hearts to pray, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in
exercise our faith is unchanged from when he walked the earth. And we call on the name of Jesus. This morning I went back to Lamentations chapter 3. If you read the book of Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah in a very dark time in the history of Israel. And he knew it was not going to get better for a while. But I love Lamentations chapter 3 about verse 20, 21. He said, but this I call to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Though the Lord, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. What's your soul saying this morning? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Some of you learned that in the King James. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's still true, too. So as we come to God, we seek him in prayer, and we pour out our hearts. And he's everywhere present. He's in Israel today. He's where your loved ones are, your kids, grandkids, the ones you're concerned about with special needs. And he's right here. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you through the mighty name of Jesus, our intercessor, seated at your right hand today. We know we cannot fully picture it, but in our mind, there's some kind of a representation of what that looks like, the throne room of God, and the Holy Spirit praying in ways we would not even understand with our human ears, who's also representing us before your throne. And we are so grateful, because we're needy people, and we live in a world where there is so much trouble, but you're bigger than all of that. So we want to thank you for that. And we come by faith today. We come not in what our abilities would allow us to do. We come to bring the things that we can't even do anything about except to represent them before your throne. And we're grateful. Lord, in a world that's filled with terror, death and destruction, where there are wars today, we think of Israel and Gaza, places where many people are in pain and many lives have been lost. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, for protection over people there, some who are calling out to you. They already know you as Savior. And we do pray for those, too, who are representing you to the people there, some who have a different faith but need to know about Jesus and his salvation. Pray today for those who are dealing with grief in their lives. I want to lift up John and Donna Karen to you today, and the passing of his mother, and pray that you would be at work there. And we know there are others as well. We bring our griefs to you, the divine comforter. Thank you, God, for who you are. We pray for Joanna Bryce today and the loss of her father. We thank you, God, for the hope that faith brings to us in the face of death. Remember the testimony of the psalmist, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We claim that promise today. We pray for those who need your healing touch, God. I pray for Wayne and Connie Galbraith today. Lift them to you. And for Bob Stanfield right here with us today. I lift up my sister Mary. Thank you for getting her through your surgery this week and for how you're healing her body. Thank you, God. Pray for Sarah Rader and for Debbie Johnson today. Bring relief from their pain. I pray for Eldon Moore and is facing surgery this week. God, we're praying that you will do things there that only your hand could guide a doctor to do. You will spare him through this, give him more life, God, and bring him through this surgery, God, in a way that we can come back and thank you and praise you. I pray for Cheryl today. I just lift her to you. As we anoint her today, we pray, God, that you would do a work that glorifies your name in her body. So we thank you that you're able. And Lord, we realize that we're part of a community of believers that right now, even in this hour, all across our community, there are churches that are preaching the gospel, that are proclaiming your name, where there are people linked together in the family of God. And we rejoice with those who rejoice. We lift up those who are in needy places today, and we pray that your word would go forth with power, that there would be salvation today through ministry in Webster County. We pray, God, that your anointing would rest on each pastor who is declaring the truth from the word of God, and that this county would see the moving of God in mighty ways in these days, Lord. We pray for the end times revival that we long for, my lifelong passion to see before you come again. And Lord, that you would show mercy and grace in these days, that those who have run from you and those who are far from you today, that there would be a growing hunger and a desire to fill the empty place within them, and that they would hear the truth from people like us, from this pulpit and from other churches that are also trying to do the same thing. We pray, Lord, ahead to our great turkey giveaway, and we think of people who will come through these doors who don't have a church, probably don't have faith in Jesus, some of them, but they need to, and that you would prepare us, prepare our hearts to be your servants, that we could represent you to people who need to see Jesus. I pray in Christ's name. And Lord, for whatever else we need, some things we don't even know we need in this hour, but this week we'll bring them into our life. God, prepare us, strengthen us. From your hand we receive, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to share a couple things, and then we're going to join at the front to anoint those who need healing. Eldon and Vola brought a card today that I need to read to you. We've been praying and anointing Eldon and believing along with him for healing of stomach cancer. He says, this is a message to thank you. Thank you for being there for me. I don't know what I would have done without you. I want you to know that your kindness is very much appreciated. It has meant so much to me just knowing you were there offering your support. Thank you for being so thoughtful. This is to the congregation, all right? Thank you for being so kind. Thank you for making happiness something that's easy to find. Eldon and Vola Moore. Praise the Lord. We prayed for Cheryl last week because she'd had some doctor appointments and they ran some tests. Just before we left town, an hour before we left town this week, we got the phone call back from the doctor's office to say that when they'd run the pathology reports from her tests, that she's diagnosed with uterine cancer. And we've walked the cancer journey before. 10 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's been cancer-free for 8 years. And we've seen what God can do. That's why it's so powerful. When I get to pray for you and anoint you, I know God heals, right? And so we're going to invite you to take that journey with us. We don't know what it includes. Thursday, we're going to meet with an oncologist who's going to probably order some more tests and tell us what all this means as far as treatment. But here's what we know. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And we speak Jesus over all this stuff. And we've done it for you, and you can do it for us. And we just trust God through all of this. You know, he grows us through the hard times. You can live a long time with an easy life and not grow a lot. But I'll tell you what. When you're crying out to God daily for what you need, you will grow. And yeah, we're probably entering a growth season in our lives. But we want to pray together. And so I'm going to invite those of you that would like to be anointed and prayed over to just come right to the altar. And we will do that now. And we'll invite the congregation to gather around too. Let's pray the prayer of faith. We'll start right here, okay? Father, thank you for the family of God. We're not alone on the journey, and we're so grateful. We also have trust and confidence in who you are. And we know that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. So living in a fallen, broken world, disease and illness is part of what we struggle with. But we know, too, that you're the sovereign God on your throne today, and we trust in you. And Jesus, we believe in your healing power. You're not limited today anymore, anyway. And we come to you by faith. I anoint my wife in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we are trusting you for healing in a way that you get great glory, that this whole congregation can rejoice in, and that that we see the power of God at work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Eldon. Wednesday's a big day, right? Okay, all right. Father, thank you for my brother Eldon. And thank you for Eldon and Vola and the example of their faith to all of us. And through this, he's been through treatments that have been really hard on him. I haven't heard him complain. I want to thank you for his spirit that turns to God and believes in your power. I anoint him as my brother in Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, praying that this week will be a week where we get good news, where the hand of God healing, it will be noted by physician to see it firsthand and tell us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. We'll pray for Lydia.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, God. We come to you in simple faith. Lord, we lift up Lydia. Thank you for this sweet girl. And we pray you would watch over her this week. And I anoint her mother in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you be with Eric and Sean this week and help her so she doesn't fear as she goes into this, I pray. Help her, God, and I pray you'll direct the physician as well, that they would do all that they need to do and that they would be able to have a testimony of God doing what needed to be done. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. What's his name? Okay. Praying for David. Nephew diagnosed with cancer this week. All right. Father, you're bigger than cancer.
Yes, you are.
So by faith, we bring David to you today. We submit him to you, praying for your work in his body and in his life. So I anoint Gloria in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, do what we cannot do, what we feel powerless in the face of this to do. We're submitting to you and asking for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's pray for Craig. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come to you praying for Craig. I just pray you would do a work that will bring great glory to your name and you'll heal him up. So we anoint in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you bless this week as they look to you, may they find rest in you and trust in you and grow in you this week, and then, Lord, bring glory through healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Kelly's got tests. Okay, God, we are sure needy people, but we know you're the God that supplies all of our needs. And so we wait before you, and I lift up Kelly to you as my sister in Christ, and I anoint her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you reveal what needs to be revealed, but we also pray for healing in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praying for Margaret has a new placement, foster care. Great need. Great need. So let's pray. Boy or girl?
Little boy.
Little boy. All right. Father, you know the needs of this little boy. I believe that you knew what you were doing in bringing him to Margaret. And I pray you'll bless her today in the assignment, but also in the ministry that she will do, that you will flow through her life, that your love will flow through her, that you'll give her wisdom to be able to see the things and understand the things she needs to know in how to care for this boy. We pray for healing. We pray that you would bring progress from where he is when he came here and what he needs, that Margaret would be able to see it and give you praise for that. So we lift her up to you, God. Sustain her by your grace. Fill her with your wisdom. Give her all the strength she needs for this assignment, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Oh, Sarah's here. Okay, Sarah. Oh, boy. We're going to pray for you. Oh, God, we know you planned a world where there isn't any pain, and then sin happened. And we have been bearing the cost of that. And I pray for my sister Sarah, and I anoint her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, knowing that she needs relief from that pain. Pray that you would bring her through this week so that it's gone and you get the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward and they're going to prepare to pass the plates for the regular tithes and offerings. We have another chance to give to the Lord. If you're writing a check, you can make it out to Hope Church or Hope Church of the Nazarene. I read this week. There are three levels of giving. You have to. That's giving by the law. You ought to. Giving by obligation. And you want to. That's giving by grace. We have received so much of His grace. I want to, right? Amen. All right, James. Cultural questions that arise in our culture, and if you're in conversations with people who do not know Jesus or maybe even some other Christians, you'll bump into these questions. Question today, as long as I'm happy, right? So let's start with the scripture. Psalm 97:12, The first edition of the New Living Translation, or if you have the Old Living Bible, it says this: may all who are godly be happy. And that's really great news, because we serve such a good and loving God, and because God loves us so much that all he wants is our happiness. Wait. Take a step back from what I just said. I'll repeat it for you. What I just told you is a cultural attitude. It means it sounds true, it feels true, we want it to be true, but it is not completely true. And if the deceiver can get you just a little off in your beliefs, it will head you to where you get to eternity and you're way off. What's true about what I just told you? We serve such a good and loving God because God loves us so much that all he wants is our happiness. Okay, we serve a good God, true. We serve a loving God, true. But it's not true that all he wants is our happiness. Have you read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren? It's got a new cover now. It's white and green. The opening page says, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. That opening line has really stuck with me through the years. It is so true. We're actually here to serve and glorify God. Not to serve ourselves, not to just find our happy place. But when we buy into the cultural attitude that says, well, God wants me happy, right? It reverses the role. So instead of us serving God, it makes God our servant. In effect, we reduce God to a cosmic vending machine. Here's how that affects our thinking. And I've known Christians who think like this too. If I do what I'm supposed to do, in other words, I put my money in the vending machine, I press the button, and I say the right prayer, then God has to do what makes me happy. So one day when I'm not happy, I might draw this very false conclusion. If God wants me happy and I'm not happy, then God failed. How many people have you heard say, hey, I tried religion. I went to church. I did the God thing. It did not make me happy. So either God's not real or he didn't keep his word. So I just gave up on God. How many people have believed the cultural attitude that says, God wants me happy? It feels good. It sounds right. We hope it's true. And then we throw in the Declaration of Independence and like, we have this inalienable right for the pursuit of happiness. I'm an American. God created everybody equal, and we should have the liberty to pursue happiness. That's my right. And that right to happiness has so permeated our culture that we've made it a spiritual saying. It's crept into our beliefs about God and the Christian life. I did this week. If you go to Amazon and you just put in the search word, I clicked on books, a search of books, and just put in the word happy, I got over 10,000 results. Books that have happy in the title. So we're bombarded with this. Without knowing it, many people are bowing down and worshiping the false god of happiness. The Bible says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. It's kind of like the frog in the kettle. A happy frog placed in a pot of boiling water. The heat gets turned up. The frog is okay. He's happy. He's sitting there thinking, this feels good. And he just kind of relaxes, and then it starts to bubble, and he's like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm in a jacuzzi, you know, got my own hot tub. But what he doesn't see coming is it will kill him eventually. There's a way that seems right to the frog, but in the end, it leads to, now that's not in the Bible, okay. But it's a spiritual principle. The pursuit of happiness seems so right to us. It's declared in our Declaration of Independence, and God wants me happy, right? But that is a cultural attitude, not a spiritual platitude. Kind of proud of that sentence. I came up with that this week. I was like, did I read that in a book somewhere or what? And I was just sitting there and I'm typing and I'm like, it's not a cultural attitude. It's a scriptural platitude. Okay, anyway. You can write that one down. If you put it on a sign or something, to put Fred Morrison. Anyway. It's not a cultural attitude. It's a spiritual. It's a cultural attitude, not a scriptural platitude. Sorry. And in the end, it will take you far from God's truth. The cultural attitude that God wants me happy. Right? Let me show you real quick here how pursuing that will lead you down this slippery slope of belief. And let me give you six conclusions that many people will draw in the pursuit of happiness. First of all, without a belief in absolute truth, truth is defined by whatever makes me happy. Right? So we've been dealing with these definitions each week of this sermon series, that absolute truth is truth that's true for all people in all places at all times. It's universal truth, and it's timeless truth. We live in a world where the father of lies has pulled it over on many people, introducing two huge fallacies that are embraced by a majority of our culture. One of them is relativism. Relativism is the assumption that there is no such thing as absolute truth, that truth is not constant, that it evolves over time, and what used to be wrong may not be wrong anymore. So I'm reading my news feed this week. And I don't know if you've been noticing this, but all these protests that have happened because of what's happening over in Israel, and on several college campuses, there have been protests against Israel. It's been just shocking. And in support of Hamas, which is an international terrorist group. And University of Pennsylvania has probably gotten the most coverage of how bad it is on their campus, and they've had several billionaire donors. One guy donated $50 million to the college last year. He said, because of what you're allowing to happen on campus, he mailed them a check for $1 this year. And he's not the only one, so it's really big. Anyway, here was the headline. University of Pennsylvania professor says colleges have failed anti-Israel students. We are fearful of offending them. Here's what he said. Ezekiel Emanuel wrote in the New York Times op-ed, published Tuesday, that was this week. He said, we have failed. When a coalition of 34 student organizations at Harvard can say that they hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for all unfolding violence, and students at other elite universities blame Israel alone for the attack Hamas carried out on Israelis on October 7th, or even praise the massacre, something is deeply wrong at America's colleges and universities. He went on to say this, those of us who are university leaders and faculty are at fault. Remember, he's a professor there at University of Pennsylvania. We may graduate our students, confer degrees that certify their qualifications as the best and brightest, but we have clearly failed to educate them. We have failed to give them the ethical foundation and moral compass to recognize the basics of humanity. That's where he got my attention. Turns out he is a trained bioethicist. He teaches classes in ethics at the university level. And he's calling on universities to support ethics classes. In other words, teaching what is right and wrong in life for students to inculcate values. He said this, moral relativism has fueled the university's race to the bottom. I'm talking about it. The assumption that there is no such thing as absolute. What's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. What's right for me may not be right for you, or vice versa. Moral relativism. An Ivy League school professor is talking about the need for absolute truth. Now, he didn't put it in those terms. He'd be laughed out of the campus. But he knows that relativism is not the answer. Wow. That's a lie from the enemy that the majority of our culture has bought into. The other lie is subjectivism. I have the ability to determine what is right and wrong without submitting my judgment to any authority outside myself. So in other words, since I don't believe in absolute truth, it might sound like that. What's true for you is not necessarily true for me. So don't impose your truth on me. That's subjectivism speaking. And without a belief in absolute truth, then truth ends up getting defined by whatever makes me happy. It's right. Now, that's not true. That's a lie. But it's a deception in our culture, and it goes deep in our culture. Here's where else this can lead us. When the pursuit of happiness is our focus, when the bottom line is my happiness, happiness becomes the standard by which I judge my actions. See, if my marriage doesn't make me happy, here's this other person who does make me happy, and that's how people justify an affair. If I don't have enough money to make me happy, I'll get a second job. I know it means I won't be able to be in church on Sunday, but God wants me happy, right? So when the bottom line is my happiness, I can justify whatever I do to pursue it, which leads to this third belief that whatever makes me happy must be good. Sheryl Crow sings a song that's actually titled, "If It Makes Me Happy," if it makes you happy. That's the title of the song. You might not want to read all the lyrics. There's some bad words in there. Maybe you know it. But the one line from the chorus, the opening line of the chorus is, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Well, then you continue down that line of reasoning. Since God wants me happy, anything that doesn't make me happy must be bad. If it doesn't make me happy, then it must not be good for me. Which then leads us to believe that obstacles cannot be in God's will. It makes us quick to complain when life gets hard. God, what are you doing? I thought you were going to treat me well. I thought you would help me. When the obstacles arise, when there's risk involved, when there's suffering, when there's discomfort, when there's delay, when there's inconvenience, that can't be from God, can it? And if that's what I think, before long, I'll be walking down that path that seems right and feels good. And without knowing it, I begin to worship the false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. So I'm going to make a very bold countercultural statement. And stay on this the next few minutes before I wrap this up. God doesn't want you happy. Let me explain that. God doesn't want you happy if it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. True story. Rebecca Jo was 4 years old when her parents went to a family party hosted by another family in their church. The host family had this large backyard, big enough that they'd set up a zip line between two large trees. I thought of James and Bridget. Okay. This was a zip line on steroids because they had teenage kids. And they made it so they could enjoy it. You had to hang on for your life because it was dangerous. And the parents, when they saw the zip line, saw how fast it went and everything, they went out in the backyard together and made this rule: nobody under age 12 can get on the zip line. But later in the day, as the parents got distracted in their own conversations, one of them looked out the window and 4-year-old Rebecca Jo was being lifted onto the zip line and sent flying. And she had the biggest smile on her face. She was so happy. Her hair is blowing in the breeze. Whee! And she's just going. But because she was so little, she couldn't stop herself. And she went face first into a tree. They say the thud was sickening, and she suddenly was on the ground with no noise, out cold. There was blood everywhere. Her mouth was bruised up, teeth through her chin. Rebecca Jo was rushed to the emergency room where she got stitches inside and outside her mouth. It's a brutal illustration, but it mirrors what many people are doing today, going through life. Whee, this is fun. It makes me so happy. And then there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. I believe that God delights when we enjoy things that are in his will. Don't miss that part. I'm not trying to paint God as a killjoy, but when we step out of his will in the pursuit of happiness, that's not his way. Maybe we've been reading 1 Peter 1:15 like this. Just as he who called you is happy, so be happy in all you do. Don't fill that in the blank on your sermon notes. You know how that verse really reads? You know what it says? Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So don't miss this. I think you've probably got a blank there on the page for this. Happiness never overrides holiness in God's plan. Happiness never overrides holiness in God's plan. That should be the bottom line for us, right? When we believe that happiness is the bottom line, that belief gives us permission to pursue things that are wrong or unwise. As long as I'm happy, right? If it makes me happy, it must be okay with God, isn't it? But you could be dating someone and you say, yeah, I know at church they say you shouldn't sleep together before you're married, but hey, God has to understand I have needs and it makes me happy. Or from the other perspective, I don't want to lose this guy because he makes me happy. I know I probably shouldn't do this, but we're going to get married anyway. The bottom line is that you believe it's okay because it makes you happy. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something sinful or unwise. Okay, God doesn't want you happy if it is only based on things in this world. For example, you go to a store, you're online shopping, and you discover something that you think you need. You didn't know you needed it until you saw it, but now you need it. But reality is you're already in debt because you've already bought many things that you didn't need with money you didn't have to make yourself happy by having them. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And we end up believing this formula even though no one ever put it into words for us. And remember, what you believe determines how you behave. So here's the world's equation for happiness: that better possessions plus peaceful circumstances plus thrilling experiences plus the right relationships plus perfect appearance equals happiness. Better possessions, whatever it is, whether it's newer, faster, bigger, smaller. If I have that, it'll make me happy. That's the belief behind it. Peaceful circumstances. I don't need things in my life that cause me stress, so I say no to this and that and that, and I say yes to this, 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 and this, because I'm after peace. Thrilling experiences, whether that's in the party scene, whether that's the chance to win big at the lottery, whether that's a one-night stand, whatever can give me an adrenaline high that makes me happy. The right relationships. As long as you make me happy, you're good for me. If you don't meet my needs or no longer make me happy, I don't need you in my life anymore. And the perfect appearance. If something's too big, cut it away. If it's too small, get it enhanced. If you need a new wardrobe or hair color, if it'll make you happy, go ahead. You deserve it, right? But what does God's word say? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, so if you have the blanks there on the sermon, all the blanks are world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's huge. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. God doesn't mind you having nice things. He just doesn't want nice things to have you. When you believe that those things will make you happy, will bring you happiness, then you've settled for a counterfeit. It's a cheap imitation of the joy and the peace that only God can give at the core of your being. I'll give you one more. God doesn't want you happy. God wants you blessed. Here's what I would say. Blessed means more than happy. Okay. Happiness is based on feelings. Those are temporary. They're fluctuating. Blessing is based on your standing in an eternal relationship with the everlasting God. And he can go way better than happiness. Way better. Psalm 112:1, blessed or more than happy is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. You will never find happiness in the temporary things of this world because you were not made to live a temporary life. No new whatever, new car, new house, new furniture, new look, new husband, new job, new income is going to satisfy you because you were not made for those things. They're all temporary, very temporary. You were made to enjoy God and be with him forever. Westminster Confession. You were made to enjoy God and live forever in heaven. So let me just say this. Feel free to lower your expectations of earth. All right? Yes, you can experience God's joy, his forgiveness, his freedom, his love, his peace in this world, but it's so temporary. And you could turn that coin over and go, yes, but I'll have illness and pain, disease, struggles, relationship issues, financial problems. It's so temporary. Praise God. This is not your final destination. And God has the plan, and it is so much better than what you have ever experienced here on earth. He made you to be blessed, which is more than happy. And that can be forever. So let me just say, would you let go of the materialistic grip that you may have on this world? All the stuff. And let God introduce you to his kingdom. It has a whole different set of values where the pure in heart are more than happy, where those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, where they're more than happy. That's where you'll experience the goodness of God, something way deeper than temporary happiness. At the beginning of this message, I started off with a verse, Psalm 97:12. I didn't give you the whole verse, so let me go back to where we started and give you the whole thing. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Okay, so your beliefs determine your behavior. I said that, I think, in the first message of the series. So think about this. Let's try to apply this. If your beliefs determine your behavior, based on the way you live, are you pursuing happiness in the things of this world? Or are you pursuing blessing from the hand of God? Are you justifying something sinful because you bought into that cultural attitude that God wants you happy? But you've stepped over the line, you're out of bounds, and you need to confess that sin to God and receive his forgiveness. And I wonder if there are some of us in the room that as we pray in closing this service, we need to ask God to clean out the false beliefs, to renew our minds with the truth, the absolute truth that he has already spoken. So, as I lead us in prayer, this may be where you need to repent of sin in your life, ask for God's forgiveness, and receive it. And for many of us, it might be the renewal point of saying, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you make holiness my goal, not happiness? You might have to shift some things there. So let's pray. God, we need you. I'm praying today, in this moment right now, for people who realize they've stepped across the line and gone into sin, justifying it in the name of happiness that they thought you were okay with. So we bring our sins to you and we ask for your forgiveness. We turn away from those sins through repentance to follow you. And God, I pray for each of us in this room, knowing we live in a culture that the majority flow of the culture is away from the truth of the Word of God to believe things like, God wants me happy, which causes a whole bunch of falsehoods to enter our lives and we embrace them. So God, would you clean our minds? Would you renew our minds so that we're thinking in godly ways? And Lord, for all the places that this world would redirect us away from holiness to happiness, we're praying that you would keep us focused on holiness, that the power of God in us, the Holy Spirit abiding in us, would help us to live holy. Help us then to say no to the things that we're not supposed to move toward. Help us to be guarded against those things that could move in and steal our joy that only comes from you, because it would take us outside the bonds of what you have provided through our lives. And would you turn the spotlights of heaven on the truth that you want to bless your people? You can make us more than happy in deeper ways than maybe we've ever experienced before. We could know your blessing in our lives. So I pray for that. And we're going to need you to help us live that way. It'll be countercultural. But we receive from you what we need as we've come to worship. We've heard your truth, and now we need to go live it. Go with us, God. Remind us. We're blessed because you love us. We're blessed because Jesus died for us. We're blessed because God lives in us. We are blessed to go bless others. Would you send us out this week to go bless other people? And now over this congregation, I say, may you be blessed by God. May you be more than happy through Christ. And God's people said, yes, amen, may it be so. God bless you as you go. Let's go live for him. You're dismissed.